Blog Talk Radio.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
Everyone, Rodney, how is it going?
Tammy, everything is well. I am blessed. I do want to share something, Tammy. So we always talk about the trash can concept on the show, and I'll be quick. And for those of you who are new to Butterfly Evolution, we talk about moving your trash can. We suggest to our listeners that you found a trash can, doesn't matter, it could be in your house, and in your house it could be in your kitchen, it could be in your bedroom, it can be in your bathroom, it could be outdoors, it could also be at your job, you know, it could be in your office, but move a trash can that you are familiar with, move your trash can to a location that is different from the one that it is in now, and then see how often you go back to its old location. A lot of times, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show. A lot of times we have a tendency to get into routines and habits, and we basically live on autopilot and don't even realize it most of the time. And today, Tammy, while I was in a grocery store, I don't know how it is in Tennessee, but here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and all of the grocery stores, they have started putting arrows on the floor. So, in, you know, It used to be, you know, you can walk down any aisle, you know, however you wanted to. But now there are arrows on the floor directing you which way to go down the aisle. And they're all one-way signs. You would not believe, Tammy, how often myself and all the other shoppers go the wrong way. Because we are so used to just going in the grocery store, you know, moving around freely, not having to worry about going one way. And so when I saw that today, I was like, man, this looks just like moving the trash can. Because we got to a point where, you know, we just went grocery shopping. And now, even though there are arrows on the floor, we have yet to adjust. And it's funny because a lot of times I don't even look at the arrow on the floor until I see somebody coming up the aisle the other way, and I'll turn around to see which way the arrow is facing, to see which one of us is going the wrong way. But it's so funny to me, and I'm like, man, we really live on autopilot. We get so used to things just being a certain way, and boy, is change hard. Back over to you, Tammy.
Wow. Interesting that you bring that up because, of course, I'm out in the field a lot, and I see, particularly at this one store, I've watched people just walk up because they've changed it to where you could enter the main entrance is now an exit because of the way, I mean, they have their the floor of the traffic designated as well, so their area, so you have to use the side entrance and go in that way. I've watched so many people walk up almost to the point of walking into the door, although there are these huge exit signs up there. You know, that should let someone know that you can't go in this way, but you're right. So good, and I had not thought about that, but great point. So again, for those of you who have never tuned in with us or never heard of our trash can baby, do it, you know, for teens or husbands and wives, especially right about now during this time, move some things and watch and even put, if you want to have some fun, make a chart and put it on the refrigerator. And be honest, how many times you go back there and do something fun, like maybe have the one who visits where it used to be the, you know, the less, then he or she gets something. I don't know, a free meal, or they get to eat whatever. I don't know. Just make it fun because you will be surprised how many times you go back to the old location of the trash can that you moved. And I'll be quick, and we're going to get you, Marcus, in just a minute. We're going to pull you in. But I remember passing my friend's garbage can because she moved it, and I was sitting at her table, and it was kind of right behind me, and I got up, and I knew it. I had saw them, you know, put something in it or whatever, but I got up and walked past it to go to where it was to put it in there. And of course we just thought that was so funny because they are for sure aware of the trash can baby, so we made it a moment. So do that, you guys. Again, thank you guys for tuning in with us. We're excited to have Marcus Griffin with us tonight. He is the author of Nothing Left to Give. And if you're on my social media page or Rodney's, you've seen us posting this. I have not had the honor of meeting Marcus or his family. I do. I know Odell. I just remember him from. You know, Valdosta and around there. And I saw him post, you know, just about the book coming out. And for some reason, I was just led to it, that Nothing Left to Give. So that hit home with me. And I'll share some of that as we talk more with Marcus. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to bring Marcus in, and he's going to tell you a little bit about himself, about the book. And then what we want to do is, and we're also going to give a copy away tonight. So for those of you who are listening, you have to, if you want a copy of this book, you have to chime in and say something. It is not going to come easy. So You got to chime in and tell us something. I don't know if you tell us anything you'd like for us to know. But we're going to read it together and have Marcus come back over a period of time that we're reading it, and we're going to share our thoughts about it, because I'm sure everybody can relate to nothing left to give. I actually said these words, but not so poised as Marcus did. My words are quite different, and so I won't share that right now. It's not appropriate, but I'm going to bring Marcus in. Nothing left to give. So we're going to bring Marcus in, and let's see here. Marcus, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
How are you? And
okay.
Yes, we can hear you just fine, and welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much, and I was happy to hear how you were moved by the title, and just to let you know, as far as God had led me to say word of mouth, because, you know, when you go through a project, you start thinking about marketing and all that stuff, and God had already spoke word of mouth, and that chilled me. And then when it came down to it, I put it on my brother's page, and, you know, from the very outset, and then you got in contact with him, and like I say, you are godsend, and I've actually listened to both your program, and I really love the chilled, laid-back feel of a conversation of like two friends. I just wanted to say I'm thankful for being here.
You're so welcome, and Rodney, he makes me think about the way that I don't know if you got to hear this, Marcus, but I know that I heard Rodney on the radio one day, but Rodney said he's never been on the radio. So that's how I was sitting in the AutoZone parking lot, and I thought, I'm going home because I'm going to find this guy and have him on the show. And so I went home and did some more searching for my computer, and so here we are all these years later. But Rodney says, Tammy, I have not been on the radio show. I'm like, yes, you have. So, Rodney, anything before we get turned over to Marcus, anything you have to
say? No, I'm excited to hear more about the book. Welcome to the show, Marcus. We are glad to have you. The title struck me as well, so I'm interested to see what you're going to bring to us tonight.
Okay, I appreciate it. And since you're thank you very much. And since you were bringing up the title, Nothing Left to Give, just like any book, it was a journey. You know, first time I started a book, it was called A Journey Home. And it was almost like a place setter. And somebody said, oh, you're going to have to come up with something else. And it was like a life jacket. It was like, nope, not going to give that up until I find something better. And throughout the whole process of writing, eventually, when I've gone through the editing process, I tried to come up with something that captured the entire book. And then it came to me as far as about nothing left to give. And then and I was able to find a particular quote that supported the whole thing, and it's called, perfection is achieved not when there's nothing more to add, but when there's nothing left to take away. So I was looking for something that would capture the essence of whatever the title is. And since you were talking about the title, I wanted to bring up as far as the young girl that's on the cover. Miss Sharon Jenkins out of Houston actually helped me bring this to life, and she's a Christian, and God had placed her in my life, and I'll talk more about that. But this is her granddaughter, and as soon as she walked in, my wife said, that looks like Nicole. And then also, when I'm looking at it, and Miss Jenkins asked her son if her daughter can actually be a model for it. And she said, when he said yes, she said she knew that was God. And when I'm talking about the story, let me just go ahead and say what the story is about, and y'all just pull me aside, but I just wanted to say the book is about Nicole's mother, Carla, would stop at nothing to create the perfect daughter, even if it cost her marriage. Nicole's road to perfection will require everything, but will giving her all be enough? And so when I think about the journey of this and I look at the book and I hold it in my hand, what people may not know who doesn't know me, my life was in a jacked up state when I started writing this book. I am a Christian, but sometimes in church you can have blows that hit you to the core. And I remember being to the point where I told God, you're going to have to bless me where I'm at. Been there, done that. And I gave up. I stopped tithing. I stopped going to church. I couldn't even turn the TV fast enough if somebody preached and came on. And God gave me this story, and it ended up being a therapeutic process for all the things that I had been going through. And I had no idea what the book would what emotions would it evoke. The main character, Nicole, is because if I had a daughter, which I don't have a daughter, but if I had a daughter, I would have named her Nicole. And show you how God worked. My niece Ashley listened to me when I talked about the book throughout the entire process, and we developed a father-daughter relationship. And where it came out to the end, I had no idea her middle name was Nicole. So how God rose, when I look at God, I have to say in my life that God has done amazing things when it's come down to writing. I love writing. And Tammy had mentioned my brother Odell. He's the one where I got a lot of identity for because he knows me better than anybody else. This book, I don't want to be a spoiler. That's why I'm cautious about what I say. I'm one of those people who are at the movie, and I'm liable to give some critical information away, so I'm kind of trying to step back and get a little bit more control. But one of the things that I wanted to read about, and it's just an opening chapter, and it's just to let you know what Nicole is going through. This is a setup, and it's chapter one. You can actually go on Amazon.com, the first five chapters on the Kindle version. You can read the first five chapters for free. And it was saying, I was 16, perfect just like my mother made me, and all I thought about was dying. I wasn't Nicole anymore. I was an attraction designed to make one feel good, playing to the desires of the mayor, governors, and dignitaries, to piano judges and audiences. I played at 307 weddings, events, competitions, and recitals over the past 2 years, sometimes three or four in a weekend. The repetition of playing was all the same, note after note, taking me on the same familiar path to nowhere through another round of a pointless song. Piano was supposed to be beautiful, just like Daddy used to tell me I was. I didn't believe Cristofori had envisioned this when he invented the piano. Yet I learned it didn't matter what I felt. Feelings were a commodity I couldn't afford anymore. Smile. Hold your head up. Cross your legs just right. Play another song. Play another. Then another. Composure beyond her age, one interviewer had written. Mother believed the sacrifices and the small attention to details would pay off. Keep chasing. Take the extra step. We're almost there, all lies. Did God really even care? Did God listen to my prayers? How had I lost my dream? Was I just a nameless face, a soulless doll? No matter what questions were in my mind, I knew I was nothing more than a container filled and empty at my mother's whim. Even my bedroom, once my refuge, now a showroom equipped with a Queen Anne upright piano, plush cream carpet swapped out yearly, walls painted and decorated with images of Beethoven, Chopin, and Bach, and oak frames measured and leveled precisely as mother demanded. The lamps centered on the bedside tables, the cloth in the closet space measured and hung evenly throughout. When I was turning 12, all I wanted to do was play in the swimming pool with my friends I once had. I wanted to laugh so hard my stomach ached. I wanted to get the butterflies when a boy I liked spoke and to see Daddy's face the day that boy asked me out. I just wanted a simple life, but now I see Mother wanted more. Daddy's gone now. No one wants me. No one will miss me. A clear thought to end it all appeared in my mind as I turned to look at the closet, take the T-shirts of the competitions I'd won, and tie them together. With one end around the rod in the closet and the other snugly around my neck, then I could sit on the soft carpet and all I had to do was go to sleep. I wouldn't have to go through another day of knowing I was nothing. I threw the clothes hanging in the closet aside. Would mother first notice the clothes hanging in disarray or me? I quickly tied one end of the tied shirts around the wooden clothes rod. I created a slip knot on the other end and placed it around my neck, leaving me just enough room to sit down. The carpet was so soft, almost like thick cotton. I closed my eyes and let my mind drift just like clouds. That's the end of chapter one. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And believe it or not.
We're all just kind of speechless.
What'd you say?
We want you to keep going. I said, we're all just kind of speechless. I know I am. I'm like, I want you to keep going. I feel like crawling up in this bed and like, okay, keep reading, keep reading.
Oh, and you know, Tammy, I really would want to. I'm just telling you, it's like that little thing where I have to be real. I would be the one who give you the end of it. And so I was like, okay, so I'll go as you guide. But the biggest thing that I looked at as far as on chapter one, sometimes when I read it, I also sometimes wonder when I was going through those things, well, those are partially my words. When you get mad and you wonder where God is in the midst of all this. And God had nothing to do with it. And that's where I'm saying through the journey that Nicole takes, somehow I ended up taking a journey through the questions to get to the point, who is God really? Does he really love me? And I even go back to the thing, the basics. When you're going through such despair, when you're going through such emotions, sometimes going back to the basis of song, there's a song called We All Heard Jesus Loves Me. And it's a basic song that goes to children, but somehow we forget and go to the basics. Why does Jesus love me? Because the Bible said so. Somehow you've got to get to a point to where it's just because God said so. Because this world will beat you down so bad and have you wondering where God is in the midst of the gall. But in the book, what I wanted people to know, God is always there. And although you may not see it, although you despair, God has a way of reaching you exactly where you're at. And so that's where, you know, and another thing that I wanted to read, and it's kind of like about me, but it's more about my mother, who I dedicated the book to. And it's kind of like a culmination of, you know, her prayers and the whole nine, but it's kind of like more you get a chance to see me. And if you ever talk with Odell, he can give you a different viewpoint and know that God is real if God can turn me around. So, and it's like, in memory of my mother, a strong God-fearing woman, no fear of any man or woman, full of faith and conviction, a walking testimony that never cursed. God created the perfect mother for me, even choking me once. I don't know where I would have been without her and her determination to raise me the right way. I was such a strong-willed child, and yet she had the attitude, wherever you want to show out, that's where we'll handle it. Because of her, I love strong women. Thank you, Mama. I love you, my cool mom. And that's the dedication that I have to my mom. And
awesome. Rodney, I'm going to have to let you go first. No, you're good. You got it.
No, so I was going to ask a couple of questions because I know you said when you wrote it, you were in a very dark place.
Yeah.
So for the people who read it so far, what kind of feedback have you gotten?
My sister, my oldest sister, called me one night, and she was ticked off about something, mad. I said, Missy, what you mad at? She was mad at me because of Carla, and she was ticked off. Missy, what's wrong? And she kept going on, I don't believe this, and she was just caught up. And then it dawned on me, Missy, have you finished reading the book? No. And then she said, I'll finish tonight. I'll call you back tomorrow. And then she called me back and she said, yeah, I'm good. So, and then there was my aunt. And I also have my aunt who's in Detroit. All she said is somebody ought to shoot Carla. And I had somebody else felt like Carla needed to get hit by a bus. So I knew I hit the mark with the antagonist, Carla.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That was where I was going with that, because I'm like Tammy in that, as you were reading chapter one, and I totally get not wanting to give away the book, and I don't want you to give it away. I actually just purchased it, so I want to read it for myself, and also let my wife read it, and then, you know, I want to be able to, you know, promote you and everything. So thank you so much. But when did you start going from that dark place? Like, once you started writing the book, at what point did you shift from that dark place to, I guess, coming out of it, you know, or to that light, you know, at what point did that transpire for you?
I believe it was just a natural process, because when I said that I gave up as far as that, that was no longer an option for me. And what I found out that God really found me exactly where I was, and in the process of writing, it, you know, and people talk about writing can be therapeutic. It was thoroughly therapeutic, and my focus was on a story, looking for answers. So when you say the dark place, it really ended up being a gradual process, and I don't know how long it took, and I don't know if it was years or whatever else, but it ended up being to the point to where I learned that I should have never allowed anything to affect my relationship with Jesus Christ. Life had happened, mm-hmm. and I, not to go in details of it, of what had happened, but a friend had told me something, and mind you, sometimes before all this happened, I thought I arrived as far as a Christian. You know, I prayed and asked God, hey, God, tell me about myself. And, you know, it's interesting when you get to that point to where I figured God to tell me one thing or one or two things. And so a friend of mine came to me. He had something to tell me, and I couldn't tell anybody else. Now, I was in the military. You don't ever say, you know, you have to put this disclaimer. But, see, of course, I had arrived as a Christian. I said, you can tell me anything. When he told me what he told me, it shook my foundation. And I tell you, God spoke to me, and he told me, you will never hear the truth. And I won't go into detail. What are you going to do? And I remember telling God, look, God, I ain't asked for all this. I was just asking about me. But what God wanted to show me is the state that I was in needed to be broken down. And what I realized, and to answer your question, I had to be built right back up. I should have never put my thing. Sometimes as a Christian walk, you can start raising men and women on pedestals. You can raise them as if they're God. And I had done that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that person fell, so did my foundation. And I should have never done that, but I did. And God, in
his
love and kindness, helped me through this process of writing, because I didn't know I wanted to write. I wanted to be a singer. I sang on the praise team. But God had called. I found that God had called me to writing, and He had actually opened up time, and He told me my purpose in life was to reach all those who had lost hope. Now, mind you, I was still in a jacked up situation, but God still spoke. And through this process, my desire now, as at the end of writing this book and coming to fruition and looking back at the road, I want to tell everybody, look, God is real. God is far greater than a lot of times we can imagine. And that dark place where you talked about, and I'm trying to answer the question, I really don't know how long it took. All I know is God took me through the entire process to get me to the point to realize He is far greater than I ever imagined. Because up until that point, I've been to a church service, and if you give $1,000, you do this, you give $500. I've done all that.
Jesus.
And then
ooh,
when it, what'd you say?
I said,
yeah.
Ooh, wee. That's all I can say. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And when I told God I've been there, done that, I'd done all that, and I stopped. And I said, and when I said, you're going to have to bless me where I'm at, I meant exactly that. And what I found out, God knows when you're hurt. A lot of times there's rebellion, but God knows when you're hurt. And what I love about what God took me through the entire process. Oh, my wife is telling me I need to chill a little bit and calm down some. She loves me. She's been with me, known her for 37 years. I've been married to her 30 years, and she is in my corner, and I appreciate that. But what I was saying, that God had really taken me through a process, through this entire process, and this ended up being a trilogy. I wrote this first part, was really just all of this was the therapeutic process of trying to find out where is God in the midst of all that. When you pray and you ask God, and it does, and God sometimes can be so silent. Where are you? If you could only just give me a word, and he's silent. But God is working consistently in the background, and he wants you to grow up. And he wants you to be able to move when he says move. He wants you to believe his word. That's the thing that I learned. So when I look at the book and I hold it in my hand, I look at what God has done. And I'm just telling you, when I say I was in a jacked up state, I surely was. And God, and I sometimes say, if God can use a donkey, then God definitely used me. I'm not telling people that way, but I'm just saying, talking about Marcus Pomeroy Griffin, if God can do that, then he can do that in my life. And when I see ultimately what he has done, I'm so thankful. And then and to top it off, Tammy calls and gets in contact with me. And I'm sorry, Rodney, for going all around the world as far as answering your question, but I just won't.
No, you are fine. You are fine, man.
Okay. Yeah, I just want people to know what God can do in a life. And I just want to let you know I am 57 years old. And it took me 14 years, going on 14 years to do this. And what I realized is that sometimes you wish certain dreams would die, but then there's a certain burning that won't let you rest. And God would give, and before I started writing this book, I asked God to give me what I need when I needed it. And if when you look at the book, you look at the special thing in the back of the book, that is all the things that God had given me along the way. And what I'm saying, and I want to tell everybody in this world that God is faithful. I think a lot of times when we hear about the pulpit of God, I think we have put him in a box. But God cared enough about me to help me with the project and give me all I need. With all the stuff that's going on, he did that for me. And I just want people to know that God can do it for you.
Hey, Marcus.
Oh, wow.
Tammy,
I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So I have someone texting me about purchasing the book, and I started doing like a little search for it. Wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
I may have found it. What is the best, Rodney, you said you purchased it. Where's the best place to go?
So
it sounds like she's having a little problem.
So I purchased it straight from the Amazon website. If you go to Amazon.com and then in the search, just type in nothing left to give. It was the first thing that popped
mm-hmm.
up, and I went ahead and purchased it.
Okay.
And
okay,
the ebook,
so
I think the ebook was $4.99
okay.
and the paper $19.99. Is that correct, Marcus?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right. So for our listener, if you still have problems, I will finding it. We can chat about it offline, and we'll make sure you get it. So thank you for that. I tried to make notes, Marcus, but I did not realize. I mean, I know I emailed you back, and your wife probably going to tell me to calm down too, because this is more about God than I really, really knew. There's so much that you have touched on, down to the way that I parented.
Mm-hmm.
I have got to read this, even down to what you said about God. You're going to have to deal with me where I am, because
mm-hmm.
I have nothing else to give, not even you. Like, and to be real with that, real like that with God. So I'm listening to you, and I'm just seeing things unfold. It's like my life is just recording, I'm playing it back as you talk. And so, and even down to on the show, Rodney and I think I can speak for Rodney as well. We both love God. We love God so much, but I saw myself. I know I've been where you said you were. I've been there. Yeah. I've been in so many of those places. And to really find out who God is and how much God loves you in spite of yourself. And here is when you say, you're just going to have to bless me where I am because I have nothing left to give. And then more importantly is what you said about the perfection is achieved not when there is nothing more to add, but when there is nothing left to take away. And I was kind of jotting my thoughts earlier today, and it was because of the book, and I want to share with you guys, just it is just not much. It said, nothing left to give speaks to my very personal spiritual journey. The minute I reached this place in life, meaning where there was nothing left to give, is when I knew that I had so much more to give, but it would not come from me. It would come from God. Those were my thoughts earlier today as I just tried to bring my mind, you know, to settle my mind before the show. And so you have spoke our language. This is the language you talk, that's Rodney and Tammy's language today. I can't wait to read this book. And for our audience, we need you to get this book because we're going to do whatever, some kind of book club, come back, and maybe we can do a chapter or two at a time. But please buy this book. Like, I was going to go straight to sleep, but I'm probably not. I'm probably going to dive into some chapters here. So thank you. I'm so grateful for Odell posting it, for you writing it. And please, I heard you say that you never should have did something. But I truly believe God put you right where you needed to be, so this will be birth. You had to go in labor. You had to be where you were. And thank God for your wife, for standing by you, for because you said 13 years to write this. So I'm sure, you know, there was nights and days and times where, you know, her patience had to be there and her love and just all of that. So thank her, too, because this is in our hands because of both of you and certainly because of your life and the way God allowed it to go. So don't regret that. Let go so that the other books can come freely.
Okay, appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
So we said we were going to give a book away tonight. So, but you're going to have to press the number one and share something with that you've learned and registered with you tonight, or I don't know, tell us something. So, or if you have a question, that's how you get this free book that I have in my hands right now. And it is Nothing Left to Give, Marcus P. Griffin. Now, Marcus, are you from Valdosta? Were you born and raised in Valdosta?
I'm born and raised in Valdosta and Jackson Street, west side of Valdosta.
So do you know where West Street is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Mr. Gator's Grocery?
Oh, that's where the bus stop, and we would get our annihilators waiting for the bus. That's you?
That's my granddaddy and grandma.
Oh, yeah.
That was my granddaddy.
Yeah, waiting in the morning at the bus stop getting annihilators. That's when candy was real candy.
Yes, it was. Yes, and those cookies and all that stuff. Yep, that was my granddaddy and my grandmother.
Oh, wow. It's a small world. I thought my wife said you were from Valdosta, but, you know, I didn't know. It's a small world.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's the beauty. You know, I know Facebook and social media has its downs, but, like, I kind of remember Odell. But what has kept me connected to him is just he's posted so many things that I would wake up in the middle of the night or the morning and I would see it, and it's as if he was talking to me. And so I kind of stay connected to his page a bit. And like sometimes it feels like God just wakes him up and says, go post this. And I feel like he kind of wakes me up and says, go read this. So, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, you got to support Odell, because to me, he just seems like a, and I don't know if I've ever met him or not, but he just seems like a very genuine, wholesome, great guy. And the things he posts are just so feeling, so spiritual. They're spiritual food for me. So,
and to let you know about my brother has been exceptional. I have an excellent big brother, well, you know, as far as about West Side, he's actually he was actually a grade ahead of me, and I'm just thankful he was. You know, it's hard to put into words, but he's one of my biggest supporters, telling me like it is. I've learned a lot about myself because he just breaks it down, because you act a particular way, but then he's the one who broke down where I was. He's the one who, and so I thank God for my brother. So, and we talk about it sometimes. We say, I love you, and I tell him, love you infinity. Yeah, love you infinity, and I say, love you infinity plus one. But it took us a long time to get that. Now, we didn't talk like that growing up. But as we grow up, you begin to notice the difference, and you appreciate what God has given you. So I've been blessed with my brother. So what you're seeing is the accuracy of who he really is.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we have a very quiet group of people. Like, they will listen, and every now and then they'll come on and say something. So we see you guys out there. I can find somebody to give this book to, you know. God will lead them to me, so this is going to be, well, we'll carry it throughout the show, but we wanted to make sure that we get that back out there. I see we've had someone else pop in, so we do have a book that we're giving away tonight. If you'll chime in or select the number one, and I didn't say that, but if you select the number one, you can ask a question, make a comment, and the book is yours. I'll mail it out to you if you're not here. We have somebody. Rodney, you want to pull them in?
Yes, we do.
Yay. I love it.
You want to go ahead and pull them in, Tammy?
Yeah, I got it, Rodney. I was thinking he was getting it. Okay, we're pulling in caller from the 210 area code with the last four digits of 6526. You're on the air with us. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, you're speaking with Ken and Karen May.
Oh!
From Texas.
That's my friend.
Going on.
Ken,
how
are
you
guys?
How are you?
We're just grateful that we are able to listen to our dear friend, Marcus Griffin. It is just, we're sitting over here just about to burst inside, because we've been close friends with Marcus and Carol for over 20 years. And just to know, let you know the caliber of man that you're dealing with, flaws and all. Marcus P. Griffin is one of the main reasons why my husband and I are still together today. And we'll be celebrating 30 years of marriage. And we hit a rough spot, and Marcus had a decision to make. And had he made the decision to support me to leave my husband, then we would have been divorced today. But he stood flat-footed, and he said, with a broken heart, he said, I got to obey God. And I just want to tell Marcus, thank you for being so sensitive to God, and we laugh about it, and we joke about it, and we say we're still together because of Marcus P. Griffin. But that's just a side note. But the book is a must read. You will cry. You will laugh. You will sit up in the middle of your bed and go, what just happened? What just happened? You will want to personally find Marcus Griffin on Facebook and say, I'm going to have a fit. It is a must read. And I just want to just openly say awesome, just awesome. And we love you dearly, and we support you so much, brother.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you, Karen. And just a little side funny note, Karen, she's very anointed by God. And when we did the children's choir, me and Ken had an idea of we had about, I think, I don't know if we had 40, 50 kids, and me and Ken had decided, you know what, we need to drop this down to about 6 to 8 kids. So we had devised the plan that we were going to kick out about 42 kids on a Sunday service. And it's like we were ready to go, and Karen had to stand up in the gap. And whatever she said shut the program down. And that's the thing, that's the heart that she has. And that's where I just, thank you, Karen. Thank you, Ken.
Yes, sir.
So if we, what we'd like to do, we will, if it, is it okay if I reach back out to you at this number to get the book to you that I see on my line here, the 210 number?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And what I'll do, I'll reach out to you tomorrow, get the address, and we will get the book out to you. And then I don't know if you were in on when we first started. We are going to have Marcus P. Griffin back, and we're going to kind of have like a little book club thing on here, and we can make it private if we need to, so only those who are, have purchased the book will be able to converse with us. So
we will,
you know, talk more about that and get that set up. Just in, you know, to make sure everybody purchased it. So thank you so much, Marcus. Anything else you want to share with us? Anything?
No, and just wanted to let you know, Tammy and Rodney, I understand why people don't quite call in. When I was listening to your program, I found myself just listening. It's like you, it's almost as if you're watching two friends have a conversation, and it was just that enjoyable. And it's not like I'm trying to interject. So I wanted to encourage you, just because it may seem kind of quiet, I tell you, I was listening the same way. And I can talk. But then I found myself just reserved, just listening. So just let you know, as far as what you guys are doing, I was thoroughly, thoroughly happy with it. You can tell, you can feel that you two have started something that's beautiful. And I appreciate the opportunity. I thank you, Tammy, for reaching out through my brother. You helped me go beyond, you know, as far as just talking and stuff like that. And I really appreciate it. You too, Rodney, and you take great care of that wife of yours, too.
Yes, sir.
You helped me go beyond.
And you guys, and I hope it's okay, Marcus, to share this, but Marcus is going to join us on Bridging the Gap TV show. So you guys stay closely connected. I don't know if you've heard of Preach the Word International Network, but I'm going to be having a conversation. I'm going to have a conversation with Dr. Betha on Thursday, working out all the details for how we can do it during this time. So they are accommodating because the show must go on. We still have to do what we have promised to do. So we have shows to record.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that Dr. Bethel gave me the okay for Marcus to be on with us on Bridging the Gap TV show, and it's an international network out of Atlanta. But again, they air all over, and the show will air on a Monday at 12:30 Central Time. But what day we don't know right now. But we're going to do the producing of the show, and then we'll let you guys know when it will be released. Marcus and his wife will let you guys know as well, because they will know. And so let's just show our support. This is really a God thing. Really, this you just spoke to my spirit tonight, and I needed it. I really needed it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm excited for you, and I know that it's going to be a great opportunity for you, and I look forward to seeing that episode. And I really hope that this is not the last time you're on Butterfly Evolution, because I feel like there's a lot more for you to give, even outside of the book. So hopefully we can get you back on soon.
Okay, yeah. And like I said, I was serious when I said, as far as listening to your show, you guys have a beautiful show. And thank you for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. And you don't have to leave. We're going to stay on just a little bit. So you guys can feel free to stay on if you want. Rodney and I had said we were going to not be on too long. So I know last week we were talking about love and relationships and all kinds of relationships, not just, you know, the man and woman thing, the dating thing, but how important it is for us to have healthy relationships and know how to build them and maintain them. And when we're out of sync with those, most times it's because we're out of sync with ourselves. Like much of our problems and the issues and the things that we go through, it really comes from how we see, how we think, and what we allow those things to do to us, how we allow them to control us.
Yeah.
So that's basically, you know, where we were coming from last week, and we just kind of wanted to reiterate that and bring that up again for our audience, and we hope that you guys have been reflective of what we talked about last week and that you're thinking about your relationships, because people matter. And sometimes the people that matter most to us, we forget about or we are most offended by because we have not learned how to accept them as they are. And in most cases, they are very different from us, down to our children, you know. So we're going to keep talking about relationships and love, and again, in a way where we're talking about just healthy relationships with everyone. How do we get that? And why it's so important for us to have that connectedness with the people that God put in our lives. Like, Marcus, you talked about you and Odell, you know, how your relationship has grown and has become to the point where, you know, I love you more, I love you more, that kind of thing. So important. And sometimes we have to go through these things to get where God wants us to be. You know, I know I'm a knucklehead. I know I'm stubborn and I'm stuck in my ways and I want God to be here and tell me all that I need to know. Like, I want to know everything before I go on this journey. So, you know, but God, I say, but God shows me who's in control every day.
Rodney,
Marcus, go ahead.
Okay.
And I know we're about to call him Odell. And
I know, Tammy, I thought I heard you say that. I almost said, I was like, wait, his name is not Odell.
I did.
That's okay. They did that in my family. They go through the whole checklist of all the brothers and sisters. Well, you talked about relationship, and one of the things that I learned as far as about God will teach you how. I had to learn how to be a husband to my wife. When I first started out, a lot of times you treat a person as if, you know, you have everything that you know. But Ken, the one who was on the line, he's the one who told me you live with your wife according to knowledge. And then when I realized God had to show me how to reach Carol and love her exactly as she is. She's not my mother. She's not my friend. She is Carol Griffin, that the person God had made her as an individual, and I have to take time and learn how to love her. Now, she can have on the other side of it, but it has been a process, and that's what I love about that Bible verse where it talks about if you lack wisdom, go, and I'm just paraphrasing, if you lack wisdom, go to God who gives it liberally. God had to teach me how to be a husband. God had to teach me how to be a father. God had to teach me how to be a friend, because a lot of times we come in our preconceived ideas of what a relationship is, and we get mad at the person when they don't live up to the expectations we have, when in fact that we're supposed to be studying them and find out their needs, their love language, and all of that. And then, and that's what I was just saying as far as about that. And like my, and that's what I loved as far as about what you guys brought up as far as about the program, as far as you had mentioned about communication. A lot of times it just seems like we're expecting to read people's mind, but God didn't give us that ability. God gave us the ability to ask questions. God gave us the ability to observe, and God gave us the ability to accept people as they are and love them where they're at. And so that's basically my take as far as on the relationships. Anything that you fall short on, God can increase that. So back at you, Tammy.
Tammy, you made me think of something. Marcus, I do have a question for you in regards to something that Tammy said.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found – I'm so glad that you had some friends to call in tonight and speak not only about your book but also about you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found it to be a struggle to gain support for your literary works from, you know, family members and friends, or have they, you know, been supportive of you?
What I have found is they have been supportive, and I'm thankful. But what I've found that is also a lonely journey. And what I've found also, mm-hmm. there are times that it's almost like going in a desert and you're basically walking on faith. They all have lives. They all have times. But God gave me, like my niece Ashley, I read to her many times, and then she would just listen, and she would, and I was thankful for that. And over the period of time that God gave me people along the way, but I had to learn how to chill at first when I was first reading. And it was kind of like I'd catch them on the phone, I'd be reading my book, and what I had to realize is, like, they got lives. And then it ends up you realize it is a thoroughly faith-filled journey, because there are many times you want to quit, the many times you question. And when you're in your own head, you know, I hope that's answering your question, because, yeah, it's my family supports. I've been very blessed with that, but I've also had those desert experiences where I have to keep moving on, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you mean as far as about family, more specifically, you know, if you wanted to say?
Well, no, I was just thinking a lot of times when we set out to do something such as write a book or you know, we get on the radio, TV.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, the people who are hesitant to support us are usually the people that are closest to us. A lot of times, you know, they are the first people with their handouts, but they're the last mm-hmm. people to get behind you and purchase a book or purchase a shirt or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come in here, you speak, you know, so that was why I was asking that question.
And I do understand where you're talking about, because I was talking to one person one time, and they were crying about it, and we were talking about family. And I won't say the name, but she was upset. This is supposed to be family. And those close to us, we have certain expectations, but it seems like those close to us can also hurt us the worst. And what I found out, just because you have a particular title doesn't mean that you're flowing in that. And what I had to realize, start looking toward God, who does God provide for me that can be in that inner circle? And sometimes, although my heart may break, some people I have to accept exactly where they are. Whether they're supposed to be here in title, I have to rename them. But sometimes with family, they got that title by blood. And if they wasn't family, you know, you could kick them to the curb. So I've been blessed as far as on my family, but I also know exactly what you're talking about. Some people with the title that they're supposed to have don't live up anywhere near the expectations of the title they carry. Now, they say it proudly, especially if you're successful, but when you're going through those dark times, they're nowhere to be found. And that's where you have to make sure. And I know for me, I've learned to trust in God and be happy with the people that He provides along the way. And that's why you would see where I kind of ramble about that, I get exactly what you're talking about. And as you get older, it's really disappointing when you bring that up, they're supposed to support and they really don't. And I'm not, you know, I've been blessed with the family, but I've learned over the years who is in that inner circle. And then the other ones is kind of like, you know, I love you. I love you, but I'm trusting God from this point on.
Okay. I like that.
This is Tammy.
I have
a question.
Okay.
This is Tammy, and I have a question for you. I know that you said it took about 13 years for you to
mm-hmm.
complete the book. Yeah. What was the most challenging thing or time? What do you remember being the most challenging, whether it was time or something that happened during those 13 years? Just what was the most challenging for you? Because you stayed at it. 13 years is a long time. And so many people will just kind of say it's not for me, or, you know, maybe I should not write this. What kept you going, and what was your most challenging time?
What kept me going, because I was naive. I had no idea what it took. But what kept me, but the most challenging time is because I had to give up something. I was a husband, I was a father, I had to work full time. So I gave up sleep. And that took a toll on me as I continued to write. And then the disappointment when you expect it to be someplace, and I thought I'd be done by this time, when I'm not, when other things come up. And but I think I gave up sleep, and then the other times that it just sat on the shelf. Other things popped up, and it just, and next thing you know, years are clipping by. And then the other feelings of failure, you know, all of that stuff is playing in your mind. And you dream, you aspirate, but it's, And all I could say is this: that's why I'm thankful for the people who come along in those down times. Those aren't accidents at all. To me, they're not accidents, because sometimes I kind of look at it, you run a marathon and you have people along the way to give you encouraging words, to give you what you need, to give you water, to help you make through that entire journey. And when you look back, there were so many people to help you make it through. And so, like I said, to answer your question, I just think I just had to give up sleep. But it was a burning passion as far as to write it. Now, and I had no idea it was going to turn into this. And that's why I say being naive about it, where I thought, and it was just kind of silly, where I retired from the military, I got my job. And I got a job, and they told me it was going to be a one-year contract. And I said, okay, that's cool. I'm just going to meet Oprah in 2007. I'm going to be on her stage. And I think God probably laughed. Everything laughed, but I had no idea. But that kept me going. But then as things started falling off, then God helped me along the way. And I just, you know, all I know is when I look back, God helps you in these little subtle things. Like I look at you and Rodney, that is not by happenstance. You get a chance to lean on people when you're at your lowest, and just to have a word from somebody where you don't have to put up the front. You can drop your guard, and that's where you need somebody there, when you can say, I'm tired, I'm fed up, and I've had enough, and they understand you, and you don't have to sugarcoat it. So that's just how I look at it.
Wow. Rodney?
That's good stuff. I've really enjoyed this this conversation tonight, and I'm glad that, you know, we had Marcus on, because I think that there's so much to take away from the things that he's saying, you know, even with his book. And again, I do want to encourage everyone to purchase the book. I'm excited to read it, and I'm looking forward to the night, Tammy, that we come back and discuss the book. So
yeah.
That's a challenge for me to read it before that time comes. Marcus, will you tell everyone again how they can get a copy of the book?
Okay. I actually have a landing page. You can do marcuspgriffin.com. That's probably one of the easiest one, Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, P as in Paul, Marcus P. Griffin, GRIFFIN.com, and it has links that would take you to the Amazon page where you put Nothing Left to Give, and you can put Marcus Pomery Griffin, P-O-M-R-E-Y, or just Marcus Griffin, and it should have the book there. Those are the two ways to get it, and it's in Kindle and it's in paperback.
Okay, great. Let's show our support, great people. Let's order the book. If you're not a reader, order it. And, you know, we have people are in the home, in the house, together, and they probably want something to do to, you know, to get them away in a room by themselves. So if you don't, if you're not a reader, become one or gift somebody with the book. Let's show our support, and then let's give Rodney and I some ideas about how you'd like for us to have Marcus back, and let's do the book together. Because what we don't want to do is get on here and just kind of go through the book without you purchasing it, because 13 years. So let's purchase the book. And then let's, you know, throw some ideas at Rodney and I and Marcus and his wife about how you'd like for us to do this online without, of course, giving the book away and that kind of thing. So let's do it. This has been super, 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 super. I guess I'm going to turn it over. I don't have any announcements, Rodney, that I can think of right now. I guess I would just encourage people, if you are looking to learn about yourself, please visit BluffCityLeadership.com and take the powerful assessment that we offer. If anybody takes it and mentions the show, I will do the 30-minute unpacking of the assessment at no charge for you. If you're here in Memphis, we can do social distancing and have it somewhere here. I can meet at the office, or we can do it through Zoom or whatever. So if you want to know not just who you are, but learn how you respond to life and why, life, love, circumstances, and people, it changed my life. So BluffCityLeadership.com. I'm going to turn it over to Rodney. Share what you have going on, Rodney. Again, Marcus, thank you. So I'm going to shut up and let you guys handle it.
Marcus, do you have any final words?
No final words. Again, I say thank you for your time. I thank you. Thank you for thinking of me, and thank you for just the hospitality. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and we will do this again soon. I don't have anything going on or coming up. Well, I take that back. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago, we did a virtual career week, and my wife, Tamaria, was one of our speakers. Tammy was one of our speakers, and a few other people, and it was a phenomenal week. We are in the early stages of planning another event for the children. So as we finalize that and start promoting it, I will definitely get it out to you. But it's sort of an end of the year event for children. So we will be reaching out to you guys, especially if you know a child, excuse me, who is gifted in some way, whether they can play an instrument, they can sing, they can rap, who knows, they can do trick shots, you know, with the basketball. Please, please, please let us know. But we'll be reaching out to you guys pretty soon and letting you know all about it. Until next time, which I believe we will be off next week, so that way you guys can enjoy your families or whatever you may do over the Memorial Day. Excuse me, over the Memorial Day holiday. But we will see you again in 2 weeks. I believe that is June 2nd, but don't quote me on that. But until next time, you guys, please stay blessed, stay healthy, and stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid.
the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know.